All righty, I had you turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Like I said, Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Old Testament. And of course, we know that Moses wrote the first five books. It's called the Pentateuch, amen? Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and we're going to look down the first 15 verses. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, begin reading in verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets before thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into thy land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards, olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. As your word says, each and every word of your word is pure, Father. We thank you for the pure word of God this morning that I have here in front of me to be able to preach and teach out of this morning. We thank you for the good old King James Bible, Father. We praise your holy name, how you've preserved your inspired, infallible word in the good old King James Bible. Father, now, I just pray for a message from thee and not from you this morning and not from me, because we'll all be disappointed. Father, show us something that we need to learn out of your word today to help us to be better Christians, to be more faithful witnesses unto thee. Father, now we just commit this precious time into thine hands, and we ask it as always in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Alrighty, we're over in the Old Testament this morning, and what I just read in verses 1 through 15 doctrinally applies to the nation of Israel under the Old Testament. So why are we looking at the Old Testament today, you may ask? Well, Moses speaking to Israel concerning God's words, amen, even though it's under the Old Testament, he's speaking to Israel concerning the things that God had given him, his words, amen. However, we can make a spiritual application and apply it to the Christian today. The Apostle Paul wrote to the believers at Rome, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, he wrote this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Paul told the believers in Rome, as he's telling you and I today, that those things written in the Old Testament, even though doctrinally they apply to Israel, that they were also written that we can learn something from them also as Christians today. I want to break our passage up into four areas to help us look at it. Amen. I'm not going to be able to cover, you know, I had this God gave me this great message, and as I started writing these things down, I said, God, I'm going to be preaching for 3 or 4 hours, amen. So what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to break it up over probably next week and maybe the week after, 2 or 3 weeks, and I hope you'll be blessed by it. But I want to break up our passage, verses 1 through 15, in 4 different areas. Number 1, we have instructions in verses 1 through 9. We have some instructions. In other words, instructions God is giving concerning His Word. Okay? He's given us, you and I, some instructions about His Word. Then the second area we'll want to look at is the production in verses 10 through 11. In other words, the product. What is the result if we do what God says, if we follow what God says concerning His words? And then in verses 12 to 14, we have, number 3, some more instructions. But along with these instructions concerning God's word, there is also included a warning to you and I. And then finally, the 4th area in verse 15 that we'll look at as we these next couple of weeks, is the result of not following the instructions that God gave us concerning His words. So that's the map. That's the route that you and I are going to take. Like I said, it's going to take us a while to get from start to finish. Amen. But I pray that over the next 2, maybe 3 weeks, that this will be a blessing to you. First of all, let's begin with the instructions in verse number 1. Look at what it says. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, okay, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. So what we have here, the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments all make up God's word. In other words, here God had given to Moses His words to teach to the people of Israel. So what we have today then is what He's speaking to you and I is, God has given us this Holy Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, this one book that contains 66 books within this one book. This is what He's talking about. This Bible, this Holy Bible, He's given you and I. These are His words. This is what He tells us, what He wants us to do and how we're to live, amen. We must remember in Psalm 119, 105, concerning the Word of God, the psalmist wrote to God, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's exactly what you and I are to use this Holy Bible as a lamp unto our feet, amen. So we can see where we're walking and where we're going, amen. And a light not only for our feet, but a light unto the path, you know. We think of our feet are right in front of us, you know. So we can see not only, you know, right in front of us, be nearsighted, but also our path, so you and I can be farsighted, see? That's why God has given us His Word, so we can be nearsighted and also farsighted, amen. In verse number 1, we want to continue, the Lord your God commanded to teach you. God commanded Moses to teach the children of Israel His words. See, Moses is a type of pastor. Okay? He's a type of pastor or leader or shepherd to guide and lead God's people. In fact, it's interesting, over there in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, when Stephen gets up and tells the people of Israel what they need to do, and he's giving some history about Israel. In fact, the children of Israel in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, is referred to as the children in the wilderness. The children in the wilderness. Now, the word church basically means a called-out assembly. See, the children of Israel were a called-out assembly. Where were they called out of? They were called out of the world. Just like you and I are a called-out assembly today. Where are we called out of? We're called out of the world, just like the nation of Israel is. We're saved. The church is made up of saved, born-again believers, Christians. We're called out. We're a called-out assembly. That's what you and I are doing here this morning. We're assembling together just as we've been instructed by the Word of God to do. So if you think of it a little bit, the children of Israel are a picture or a type of the New Testament church. They're not the New Testament church, but they picture it. They foreshadow it. There's some things that we can learn from them for us today. So as we see, as Moses, amen, was given the responsibility by God to teach God's chosen people, the people of God, so it is today my job, the pastor, our responsibility to teach the local New Testament church, amen, that God has put me over. And he put, and that goes for all pastors. It's the pastor's job to teach the new local Testament church, amen, that God has put him over. In fact, we see, if you turn with me in 1 Peter this morning, chapter 5, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look at what it says concerning the pastor. Okay, it uses the word elders, but I want you to see, I don't have time this morning to go through it, but anytime you see elder or bishop, you know, or something like that, that means pastor. It's all the same word. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. This is Peter talking. So Peter said he was also an elder, a pastor, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now notice what he says. He's instructing these other pastors. The Apostle Peter is telling them, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. Now what he's doing is, he's taking an illustration. He's not saying to the elders, okay, go out there and feed the sheep, the physical sheep, you know, the ones that go bah, bah, bah. He's talking about those members of their individual New Testament local churches. He's telling to feed, he's telling those elders, he's telling those pastors to feed the flock, or for feed his congregation, to feed their congregations, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So in other words, God has appointed pastors to feed, to teach the people, to feed the flock, to feed the congregation, amen, and to have oversight, to overlook them, amen, to watch over their souls, amen. And he says, this is how you're to do it, not by constraint, not because you have to, but willingly. In other words, I'm here this morning not because I have to be here, but because I want to be here. And I hope you're here this morning, not because you have to be here, amen. You're not under the law, you're under grace, but because you want to be here. You have a desire to be here, amen. And he says, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. What does that mean? In other words, I'm not in this for the money. I'm not to preach for the money. Amen. That's what it's saying. I mean, you look at some of these men up there that are preaching, amen, and they're making a lot of money, amen, and they're doing, a lot of people are doing it for the money, and that's what Peter says we're not to do. It pastors are not to preach for the money. The Bible does say that we're to be supported by the church, amen, all right, you know, to help the church should support the pastor and his family. But the main, he says, you're not to do it for money. You're not to preach for money, amen. Not to get some advantage over, to, you know, fill your pockets with money. But of a ready mind, okay? Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. In other words, I'm not to be a slave driver, a slave, you know, a master or anything. I'm to be over you and to accept the example on how you should live your life and how you should be as Christians. So we see then, we're getting back to the point I'm making is, it's as Moses' responsibility to teach the children of Israel, it's the pastor's responsibility and my responsibility to feed the flock, to teach the people. In fact, if we were to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, where it has the qualifications of a bishop or a pastor, you know, what those qualifications are, one of those qualifications of a pastor or a bishop is apt to teach. In 1 Timothy 3:2, it says, apt to teach. See? Teaching is a very important part of the pastor's responsibility in the local New Testament church. In the pastoral epistles, okay, that Paul the Apostle wrote, he writes to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, amen. And we see within the pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy, over and over and over and over again, Paul stresses to the young pastor, Timothy, to teach. To teach those that God has put him over, amen. To teach. Paul the Apostle clearly states that, number one, only a man is to be a pastor and to teach, okay? And that's referring to the pastoral position. I'm not saying the Bible says that women are not to teach at all in the church, say Sunday school, absolutely. But Paul is speaking here clearly, and he tells us that it's only a man is to be a pastor and to teach, only a man. So if you see these other churches that have women in these pastoral positions, it's against the word of God. That's what God says. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, he says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach." See, that word suffer, you know, we think of the word suffer like when you have a stomach ache or you have a cold. But that word suffer in the Bible a lot of times means to allow. And what he's saying, "But I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." I know the National Organization of Women wouldn't like that, but that's what the Word of God says. It's the man to be a pastor, a man that is to teach. In fact, over there in, as I told you, the qualifications, some of the qualifications for a man to be a pastor, for a person to be a pastor, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualification says, 1 Timothy 3, 2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife." The husband of one wife. The husband of one wife. How can the woman be a husband of one wife? Clearly, as Paul stresses teaching to Timothy, he lays down the ground rules and he says, number one, it's a man that's to be a pastor, and it's a man to teach in the pastoral position. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's turn there to 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you would. As I want to stress here and to show you that it's the pastor that teaches. This has a responsibility to teach you. That's my primary responsibility, and one of the responsibilities as a pastor is to teach you. You know, it's not the 700 Club that's supposed to teach you, or some of these other shows on the TV or the radio, amen? But it's my job. It's the pastor's job, amen, to teach the people, to teach those that are under him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Now if someone tells you that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak, it's a good verse to lay on them. "The Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." And of course, what Paul is writing here to Timothy is, you can eat whatever you want, amen. You know? But there are doctrines of devils. One of them is forbidding to marry, commanding you abstain from meats, amen. But Paul is telling Timothy, you can eat what you want, amen. You know, but you should bless it. You should thank God for it, amen. "For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And notice, what Paul instructs Timothy in the duties of a good minister. The duties of a good minister. You see there in verse 6, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Some of the things that he talked about, you know, about forbidding to marry. There's nothing wrong with marrying or eating what you want to eat. Amen. See, these are the things. And notice what he says, though, in verse 11. These things command and teach. All of those things that Paul brought out in the previous verses, he's commanding Timothy to teach the people that are under him in his church. Just as it was Moses' responsibility to teach the children of Israel all God's commandments and statutes and judgments. It's the pastor's, amen, responsibility to teach you, amen, the word of God and what it says and to guide you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verses 1 and 2, Paul instructs Timothy, he talks to Timothy about a servant's duty, what a servant is supposed to do for his master. And he concludes in verse number 2 by saying, these things teach and exhort. In other words, these things that I've told you what a servant is to do, you're to teach those that are servants. This is how they're to live with their master. Amen. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul instructs Timothy that he is to train other men. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 2:2. In 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses of the same, commit thou to faithful men. Why? Why should he commit them to faithful men, these things? Who shall be able to teach others also? That's another thing. Responsibility of a pastor or of a preacher is to train other men. I'm to reproduce myself, in other words. I'm to teach others, so that they can become pastors, and so they can teach others. Amen. We see all the way down through this, these pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is stressing to Timothy, it's your responsibility as a pastor to teach. You know, you're not just supposed to come in every Sunday and set up the video, and you know, and have a video series for 15 or 20 weeks. Amen. And you just sit back with the rest of the sheep. Amen. No, you ought to get up there. It's your responsibility to teach and preach the word of God, we'll see. In other words, I'm to bring forth the lesson, amen, fresh, new, each week, amen, to get you excited about the things of God, to teach you to bring out, to guide you with what the word of God tells you and wants you to know how to live your life, amen. Then we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that same chapter in verse 24 and 23. Let's read down there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. What he's telling Timothy is, if someone says, how did Noah get all those animals in the ark, or where did Cain get his wife or something, avoid those questions. Foolish questions. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strife. In other words, they bring up conflict. People argue about things. You know, that's what these stupid people will ask you. What they'll end up doing is getting you into an argument. And he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. And that's what he's saying. A pastor, Timothy, and all pastors are servants of the Lord, and they must not strive. They must not get into these contentions and conflicts over foolish questions. He says, but be gentle unto all men and apt to teach, patient. See, again, Paul tells Timothy as a pastor, he is a servant of the Lord. And as a result of this, he must not strive. He must not get into contention and strife and arguments, amen, over the things that I listed in 23, you know, foolish and unlearned questions. but instead Timothy and all pastors should be gentle unto all men and apt to teach. There's that apt to teach again. And shows you how I am to be towards all men, gentle unto all men. Because if I'm anything else, how will they want to listen to me? If I'm not gentle unto all men, they're not going to want to let me teach them anything. And be patient. Be patient. Very important. For all of us, but for pastors in particular. Maybe someone doesn't understand something right away. For you to be patient and go over it again and over it again and over again until they understand exactly what you're trying to teach out of God's Word. So we see then that God gave His Word to Moses, and Moses was to teach it to the people of children of Israel, we see there. And the same thing applies. God has given you and I the Word, all of us the Word, amen. I don't have any advantage over you, amen. But He's given me the responsibility to teach you His words to you so you can understand it, amen. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 1, we read, the reason Moses, okay, or the pastor, has been given the responsibility to teach, amen, as Moses was given the responsibility to teach the children of Israel God's commandments and statutes and judgments, so the pastor is to teach the church, and the reason for that is it says in Deuteronomy 6, 1, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. And of course, the land in Deuteronomy 6, 1, God is talking about a physical land, the promised land, the land that was promised all the way back to Abraham there in Genesis chapter 12. You know, we see them fighting today over there in the Middle East over that land. Well, that land belongs to the Jews. Amen. They're right. That land belongs to them. That was promised to Abraham. And I'll tell you, that land will belong to them someday. No matter who's trying to get it away from them, Arafat or whoever it may be, it will be there someday. It will be returned to them. So Moses was to teach the children of Israel the commandments of God, the statutes of God, the judgments of God, so they would know how to live for God in the promised land. See, you have to remember, they left an entirely different life and an entirely different land behind, Egypt. You have to remember, they were under different laws. They were under the laws of Egypt. And in Egypt, they were in bondage to Pharaoh, the Egyptians. They were slaves. They were under the bondage of the taskmaster's whip. That's how their life was. That's all they knew. That's how they lived and they learned, amen. Now, they need to know how to live life as God's people. Okay? No longer the children of Egypt. No longer slaves to the Egyptians, amen. But now, they needed to be taught how to live as God's people. Looking in Deuteronomy chapter 7, I want you to see some of the things that God says about the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, talking about the children of Israel. For thou art a holy people. Okay? A holy people, he calls them. And we know holy means separate. Amen? Holy. Who are they separated unto? Amen. They're a holy people unto the Lord, thy God. That's who they're holy. That's who they're separated unto. They're not separated back to Egypt or someone else. They're separated. They're a holy people unto the Lord God. Not only that, the Lord thy God has chosen thee. God himself picked out Israel to be his chosen people. He did the selection. Amen. Has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people. Above all people, he said, that are upon the face of the earth. holy people, a chosen people, a special people above all people on the face of the earth. Look at also in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. Let's look there for a moment. Some more things that God says about the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. A peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. He calls them a peculiar treasure. A peculiar treasure, amen. Look at also in the next verse. Verse 6 of Exodus 19. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. A kingdom of priests, a holy people. So we see then that God, these were children of Israel, special to God, amen. There's no doubt about it. All the adjectives to describe them, a holy people, above all people on the face of the earth, a peculiar treasure, kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a peculiar people, amen, exalted above all nations. So we see then the children of Israel are separated unto the service of the Lord, amen. Number one, they're given the best land, a new land, that a land that floweth with milk and honey. Well, how can we take some of this and apply it to ourselves as Christians today? So it is for the pastor in the local New Testament church to teach those who have gotten saved, that are born again, how to live for God, amen, in their walk as a Christian. See, just as the children of Israel had to learn how to live for God in the promised land, because they came from a land where they were different, they were slaves, they lived as slaves, that's all they knew. Moses had to teach them now, hey, you're chosen people of God, and God has given you his word, and this is how we want you to live now. You're no longer back there, you're here now. See, the believer in this age, the church age, is not promised necessarily physical blessings as Israel got with the promised land, but the believer's blessings today are more spiritual in nature, amen. The believer, for example, is no longer a citizen of earth, but a citizen of heaven, according to Philippians 3:21. The believer is now an ambassador of Jesus Christ, not the world, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. The believer, you and I, are accepted in the beloved, amen. Accepted in Christ, Ephesians 1:6. You and I, as believers today, are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 2:6. And according to Ephesians 2:9, you and I now, all believers, belong to the household of God. You know, it's interesting. We looked at some names that God has given or gave to the children of Israel. Chosen people, kingdom of priests, a peculiar treasure, a peculiar people, above all nations. Listen what he refers to you and I as. He gives us some names as believers. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. Look at what he says about you and I this morning. Look at what he says about all believers. Let's look at the similarities between the terms. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye are also as lively stones, are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Didn't he say to the children of Israel they would be a kingdom of priests? Amen. Well, the believer today is a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But you see, the sacrifices we lift up to God are not physical like the Levite priest did over there in the Old Testament, but ours are spiritual sacrifices. Amen. Look at it and drop down to verse number 9 in that chapter. But ye are a chosen generation. See that? A chosen. Israel was a chosen people. It was a chosen people. We're a chosen generation. He's talking about the church age. Amen. From the day of Pentecost up to the rapture is a generation there. Amen. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. And holy nation. That's what he said about Israel. A holy nation. The same term. A peculiar people. Amen. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we see then that the believer today is referred to with basically the same terms as the nation of Israel was referred to. Amen. We must remember that a person, before he or she was saved, lived in a different land, like the children of Israel did in Egypt. In fact, Egypt in the Bible is a picture, a type of the world. So like the believer, like Israel, has been delivered from a life of bondage. Amen. From a life of bondage. Just as the children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh, a person before they were saved were in bondage and they were a slave to sin. Amen. They were a servant to sin. You and I were a slave or a servant to sin, unable to break the burden of sin, until Jesus Christ delivered you and I. The moment you and I believed on Christ, he delivered us from the world, from Egypt, just as Moses, as a type of Christ, delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, the land of Egypt. Until Jesus saved us, delivered us, our condition, amen, spiritually, parallel the condition of the children of Israel. The believer, before he was saved, according to Ephesians 2, was dead in trespasses and sins. That's what you and I were, dead in trespasses and sins. We were an enemy of God. We were children of disobedience. We walked according to the course of this world. In other words, whatever the world told us to do, we did it. Amen. We were following the things and the ways and the people of the world. Amen. The course. We walked according to the course of this world. Just like when the children of Egypt, of Israel were in Egypt, they walked according to the course of Egypt. They ate the food, amen, down there. They didn't have that. They didn't have the Mosaic diet then. They ate the diet of Egypt. They walked according to the laws of Egypt or whatever Egypt said. Just like you and I, before we were saved, we walked to the rules and regulations, amen, of this world. We walked according, as unsaved people, according to the prince of the power of the air, it tells us over there in Ephesians 2:2, who is Satan, okay? And Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. Amen. So we see that the children of Israel, when they were down in Egypt, walked according to the prince of the power of the earth. They walked according to the way Pharaoh told them to walk. They had no choice. You and I had no choice but to walk that walk. That walk of Satan, to follow him and not God. As Moses was commanded by God to teach the children of Israel how they were to live for God in the promised land, so the pastor is commanded by God to teach the believer with the word of God how he is to live for Jesus Christ. The pastor is to show you how your Christian walk should be. As Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That's how you and I are to walk as Christians. No more in darkness, no more in hiding, no more in secret, but to walk as children of light. No longer a servant to sin, but as Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. The pastor is to teach you how to walk as children of light. He's to teach you how to live and to walk as a servant of righteousness. Amen. That's the responsibility. So from that one verse this morning, we started out with 15. Amen. And if I had covered all 15, we'd be here for 3 or 4 hours. I looked at one verse this morning, and we saw this morning, God has given man his word. But not only has God given man his word, but God has also given man a pastor to teach you his word. He's appointed him. I'm here because I didn't win any election or anything, but God put me here. Amen. So he's given you, he's given us his word. He's given you a pastor to be over you, to teach you his word. Amen. For what purpose? For the purpose of teaching God's people how they to live for him and to serve him. We see this morning from the Old Testament. Amen. Doctrinally, we read something that applied to the nation of Israel, but how we can spiritually apply it to this church age now. As Paul wrote, things were written before, so we can learn now. Amen. So as we continue on in the next following weeks, we're going to see some more things, we're going to look at some more. We didn't cover all the instructions this morning, but we're going to see some more instructions concerning God's word for you and I. Amen. I pray this morning, as I mentioned earlier, Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Amen. Be it you need to get saved, or as a Christian, there's something in your life that you need to get right. Amen. If there's something that you need to get right, the altar is open here this morning. If there isn't, praise God, hallelujah. We won't extend the invitation. But as always, we'll have a time as we come to our closing hymn for you to come and pray if you need to. Amen. If there's something that you need to get right, come this morning. If there isn't, praise God there isn't. Amen. Praise God for that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God this morning, for our study this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you've given that word to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has free access to your word. And thank you, Father, not only that you've given us your word, but you've given us, amen, a man of God. You've set up Moses to teach the children of Israel, and you've given the new local Testament churches pastors to teach their flocks. Father, we just pray for all local New Testament churches this morning, Father, that you would be with their individual pastors, Father, that they would be teaching it to help the people, to help them to learn to live for thee, God, that they wouldn't be doing it for filthy lucre or to lord it over the people, Father. Father, we just pray in these end times that we would see people get saved and edified in the things of the Lord, that you would raise up good, godly men to be pastors over local assemblies, Father. Father, now, we just ask you, as always during our time of invitation, to have your will and your way. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.